the answer. The Bible is a compass giving us God's direction for handling money. I was sliding my papers and reports into my briefcase when the phone rang on my desk. It was 5:30, and I was getting ready to go home after a long day at work. I was tired. Reluctantly, I picked up the phone. "Hello, Howard. This is Alan Hitchcock." I felt a pang of embarrassment. I had neglected to return his earlier call. He sounded depressed, and I made a lame apology for not calling him back. "Gene and I considered a divorce, but we decided to try to work it out," he said. Their financial problems were on the verge of destroying their marriage. He asked if we could meet to discuss their situation. We had become acquainted at church 2 years before when they moved from St. Louis to Orlando. Alan earned a middle-income salary as an assistant manager for a department store, but he couldn't understand where the money was going. They faced increasing expenses for their growing family, and in a few years, they would need college tuition for the children. And neither he nor Gene could foresee a brighter future. The Hitchcocks also owed a substantial amount to retail stores, doctors, credit card companies, and their bank. On top of that, they had a sizable mortgage. Because of their debts and their daily expenses, the Hitchcocks shopped very carefully, sometimes comparing a half dozen outlets for the very best price. They used coupons at the grocery store, but the family faced a critical problem. Alan and Gene did not have a clear guideline for handling money. They never had been able to budget their spending. They seldom decided not to buy what they wanted, and they had no plan to save or invest for the future. You know, I understood their predicament. Several years before, a friend, Jim Seneff, and I found ourselves making daily financial decisions for our business and young families without a scriptural point of reference. But to be the best husbands and the best businessmen we could be, we felt compelled to do a thorough study of what the Bible said about money. Together, we read the entire Bible, locating each of the 2,350 verses that dealt with money and arranging these verses by topics. Then we put this information into a seminar and presented it to our church. The response was overwhelming. People peppered us with questions. Other churches asked for the seminar, and through the years, the seminar developed into the Compass, Finances God's Way, small group studies, which today are conducted in churches throughout the world. And it's through these small group studies that so many people like the Hitchcocks have been helped. We've found that most people, indeed most Christians, either don't know or haven't applied God's financial principles to their lives. Applying these principles is crucial for three reasons. First, how we handle money affects our fellowship with the Lord. I love what Luke 16:11 tells us. "If therefore you've not been faithful in the use of worldly wealth or money, who will entrust the true riches to you?" In this passage, Jesus equates how we handle our money with the quality of our spiritual life. If we handle money properly according to the principles of Scripture, our fellowship with Christ will grow stronger. However, if we manage money unfaithfully, our fellowship with Him will suffer. Someone once told me that the Lord often allows a person to teach a subject because he or she desperately needs it. That's certainly true for me in the area of money. I've had the privilege of leading more than 60 small group financial studies, and I've never met anyone who had more wrong attitudes about money or who handled their finances more contrary to the Bible than I did. When I learned these principles and applied them, I experienced a dramatic improvement in my fellowship with the Lord. Following God's financial principles draws us closer to Christ. Well, the second reason is that possessions compete with the Lord. Possessions are a primary competitor with Christ for the lordship of our lives. In Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus tells us we have a choice to make. We must choose to serve only one of two masters. Here's what the passage says. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, it's impossible for us to serve money, even in a small way, and still serve the Lord. When the Crusades were being fought during the 12th century, the Crusaders employed mercenaries to fight on their behalf. And because it was a religious war, the Crusaders insisted that the mercenaries be baptized before fighting. And as they were being baptized, the mercenaries would hold their swords out of the water to symbolize the one thing in their life that they weren't going to submit to the Lord. The one thing that Jesus Christ didn't control. They had the freedom to use their swords in any way they wished. Well, today, many people handle their money in a similar way, although they may not be as obvious about it. They hold their wallet or purse out of the water, in effect saying, God, you can be the Lord of my entire life except for my money. I'm perfectly capable of handling that myself. Well, the last reason it's important to apply these principles is that much of life revolves around the use of money. Think with me for a moment. During your normal week, how much time do you spend earning money in your job, making decisions on how to spend it, thinking about where to save, invest, or praying about your giving? Fortunately, God's prepared us for these tasks by giving us the Bible as His blueprint for handling money. You know, increasingly people wonder where they can turn for help. And there are two basic alternatives, the Bible and the answers people devise. The way most people handle money is in sharp contrast to God's financial principles. Isaiah 55 verse 8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Well, one of our goals as you listen to this book is to help you learn to be content. Contentment is mentioned 6 times in the Bible. 5 times of those refer to money. In Philippians 4, starting at verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes this, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Examine these verses carefully. We're not born with the instinct of contentment. Rather, it's learned. So the purpose of this book is to help you learn God's way of handling money and possessions. This book will offer you practical ways to integrate these principles into your lives. And as you discover these principles and put them into practice, you'll draw closer to Christ, submit more fully to Him as Lord, learn to be content, and set your financial house in order.